Today's daf is being learned in for Aliyas Neshama from Willie's mother's yard site, Chava Bat Chana. So today's daf in Mesechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Yud Gimel. And we've already gone ahead a bit, and we're holding, we did already the first part up to the two dots. So we're holding at Ki Imra Kidirin, which is midway between the Mishnah and the top of the page. You see that? Okay. So continuing on, and I just want to remind you that what we've been doing is we've been going through various Lashonot only in order to show that very minor changes in the pronunciation of these Lashonot, or the way in which a person ends these Lashonot, is going to make the difference between its being mashma, that it is a neder, or that it isn't a neder. Now, we need to take into consideration several issues when we do this. We need to make certain that the way that he's saying something is not exclamatory, so that he would be saying, by golly, so that if he was talking about a carbon, it would be, by carbon, which, of course, is a completely meaningless statement, or by holy Jerusalem. It's ridiculous. None of those things are Lashonis of Neder, despite the fact that obviously if you say something is like Korban, or it's like Yerushalayim, at least like Yerushalayim might mean like the things in Yerushalayim. And again, the big yesod was that B'Nedarim, when it comes to the Lashon Nedarim, we're Helech L'Achmir. So that means if we can interpret something that it tends towards the meaning of a Neder, even though it's certainly possible that it might mean something else, that we're going to be machmer. So a lot of what the Rishonim do in the Mishnayos and in the various brises and sugyas that we have here is simply point out to us the way in which these Lashonis could be interpreted l'chumra, and because of that we have to be machmer to give it a din of a neder. There are certain cases where even though we might even understand that his intent was to make a neder, let's say if he specifically wants to use a double negative. So we said, well, according to Rabbi Meir, you can't use a double negative. Okay, that ends up being machlokas tanoim. But generally speaking, the question of using conjunctions or of using a word which has the mashma'ut of its opposite. So you say la korban, which would actually, if it's pronounced with a komatz, then it's the Aramaic la korban, not for a korban. Of course, if it's an Hebrew la korban, then it's mashba the korban, which is completely different. And as I said, some suggest that the difference in pronunciation between a Sephardic komatz and an Ashkenazic komatz may account for the difference in the Rishonim that explain la korban different. As Rashi says, la korban can never be mistaken for la korban, whereas all the Sephardic pronunciation, they say it can be. And then, okay, it's not clear. Some of the Balei Tosfos, what they hold. But in any event, all of those kind of things need to be taken into consideration. Are you saying something is like something else? Are you implying a negative? It's not like something else. What if you say beferish? It is not like something else. Can I utilize a double negative? Can I utilize a single negative in the sense that it's a way of referring to carbon? Well, it ain't chulin. All right. So, I mean, is that a negative or it's that it's not going to be chulin? So you better watch out. In which case it's possible, even according to Rabbi Meir, it would be considered to be it's not chulin and therefore I'm not going to be eating with you. And then the question is, how does it interrelate with the closing? I will eat you. Will eat with you or won't eat with you? Because consider, if I'm saying that I will eat, it's a little bit weird, isn't it? Because, I mean, I can't say that I am going to eat your food. It's not up to me whether I am going to eat. So how can I be saying I will be eating your food? It's much more mashma that when I'm saying she'ochal, it means that which I would eat and not that I shall eat. I say all of these are considerations that are very, very sensitive to context, pronunciation, and the way in which you are utilizing your language in terms of the prepositions or conjunctions that you're talking about. And therefore, we're going to find many, many subtle distinctions, all of which are different between the different Rishonim. And as I said to you, that's not something that you should find discouraging. It's just something that is what the Gemara says. Afata hateos nechaka farcheset uknelecha lev mevin. Listen to all of the different approaches, and then you will gain a supreme sensitivity. And remember that one of the biggest klolim about the nature of nedarim is that it always is defined locally. And the Rambam makes this a very important yesod, and he speaks to the dayan. And he says, always keep that in front of your eyes. Context is always local context. Meanings are always local meanings. When we're talking about Nedarim, by definition, we're not talking about primal meanings, universal meanings. We're talking about the way people talk and what it is, therefore, that they mean. So now, getting on to the next piece of the Mishnah, we spoke yesterday about Rabbi Bar Chama, which was a tremendously important nekuda, whether a person has, by the way, it isn't even clear, I keep saying, whether a person has in mind to be matpis for the ikar or for kedahashta. Many of the mefarshim understand it has nothing to do with what the person has in mind, and it has more to do with the nature of things, the nature of these isurim, particularly the brisker. There's a couple of maamorim to answer some strange language in the Rambam, in which both Reb Chaim has a piece on and Reb Velvel has a piece on, both of which come out that the issue of your b'ikar kamatvis is not a question of what the person's das is, but rather how these Yisurim work and how they are created in the Torah. That's a little bit too complex for us, but for Daf Yomi, but it's important for me to correct my language, because I've been saying, does a person mean Be'ikr, does a person mean kidahashta? And that is not necessarily the case. So we might be talking about more than just what the person means. Okay, with that introduction, let's move right along. And the Mishnah said, so if somebody said, so this thing should be like Imra. And Imra is usually a lamb that you've set aside for the korban tami, to Imras. We keep referring to those Imras of Kachim. We have to talk about the dirim. The dirim were like the enclosures that were made for keeping imra, or ke'etzim, or ke'ishim, or ke'heichal, or ke'irushalayim. So in all of those cases, we said these are considered to be, even without mentioning the word korban, these are considered essentially to be the equivalent of saying korban. Tana. Imra, le imra, ke imra. So now Brisa says, well, now let's think about this. You could just use the word imra. You could say it should be to imra, which would mean la korban ye, let's say, le imra. Or it should be like an imra, which would mean that it would be like a korban. So then in all of those cases, so then it would be, says the Brisa, even though he didn't say beferish, or let's say he said dirim, or he said ladirim, or he said kadirim, or eitzim, laitzim, kaitzim. All the cases that we had in the Mishnah, except over here, it goes through the various introductions. Do you say it without a conjunction? Do you say it with a preposition? So eitzim, laitzim, kaitzim, ishim, laishim, kaishim, mizbeach, lamizbeach, hamizbeach, heichal, laheichal, kaheichal, Yerushalayim, Li Yerushalayim, Ki Yerushalayim. In all these cases, it depends how you hook it up to the next phrase. So if you say, Sha'ochalach, meaning that which I'm going to eat is going to be like or to or the equivalent of these things, so then it would be usher. But if you use the word at the end of your statement, Lo Ochalach, then in all of these cases, it would be mutter. Now, the pashtus is that that's because it's a double negative. That's what it sounds like. So in other words, what I'm saying is, what I don't eat, that should be like imrais. That should be like korbanas. But what I do eat should not be. So that's why we're saying that it's mutter, but that's a bit of a problem, remember, because Rabbi Meir holds we don't use the concept of a double negative when it comes to analyzing the neder. So therefore, we need to work this out. And says the Gemara, now hold on a minute. We had this whole machlokas about whether you need to say a chof hadimyon, remember? We had the machlokas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, that well, I mean, the Stam, the Mishnah's Rabbi Meir, because he's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, right? So, okay, Rabbi Yehuda, the one thing we have in the Mishnah's, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you say Yerushalayim, it don't mean anything. And then we saw in the next Mishnah, if you say Ki Yerushalayim, it don't mean anything. Because over there, there's also the question, Ki Yerushalayim, that it should be like the holy city of Jerusalem, which is, that's not a davar hanadar, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and Rabbi Meir, he was the one, apparently, that accepted all of these Lashonas before. So then, how exactly, asks the Gemara, how does it work out to understand what we've just read? Because Manchaminin, let me ask you something. Who is the name of the Tana that says it doesn't matter whether you use the word Imra or you use the word Ki Imra? Or you use the word Le Imra? I mean, that was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda said it matters a great deal. And that you cannot just say Yerushalayim, or you cannot just say Imra. You would have to make it similar too. So then that means that when we're saying over here that no matter what format you utilize, whether you utilize just the word, or you said Ki the word, or you said Li the word, that in all of these cases, if you said she'och halacha, would be aser. Now, who's that cheat? That's the Gemara. The only one who never made a distinction between Imra, Li Imra, Kimra is Rabbi Meir, right? So then, I don't understand. So then how do you explain the end? The end of the Braita said that if you said any of these terms and you concluded with the words lo'och halach, that it's mutter, isn't that because what you're saying is that what I don't eat from you should be like a carbon, but what I do eat from you should not be like a carbon. But that's double negative. And Rabbi Meir is the one who doesn't hold of double negatives. So how do you explain that? Vaha Rabbi Meir, I thought we said, why would that be true? Kulon lo ochalach mutter, vatnan, lekorban lo ochalach, Rabbi Meir says it is usher, actually, and that's not because of double negatives. It's because, as Rabbi Abba said, there's a way to read that, in which case it isn't a double negative, and it would form a classic netter. Here's how to read it. Naaseko omer, lekorban yehei, lefichach lo ochalach. So it's not meant to be one statement. It's meant to be saying, this shall be a korban, which means that I will not eat it. And that's how we came out before, that even Alibet Rabbi Meir, we could say those Lashonas. So why aren't we saying that now? I don't understand. Do we hold to that or don't we hold to that? Before you said that that's how we could understand Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, and now we're coming along in the Braita and you're saying, no, we can't understand Rabbi Meir that way. I'm so confused. Says the Gemara, there's nothing to be confused about. Lo kasha, it depends, remember, on subtleties. Now, there's different girsa'ot here. So one girsa is, hada omar la imra, vahada omar lo imra. So therefore, if you have, the other girsa is, hada omar le imra, vahada omar la imra. So remember that la imra could be understood as lo, the equivalent of lo, la imra. Mashenke, le imra would mean that it's meant to be a korban le imra. So now, basically, the point would be is that this is how the Ran understands it. There's all types of variations, but you've already heard the basic variations and the ideas. And this is just variations on a theme. There's different ways to read this. And as I said to you, just about every piece of these languages have different girsa'ot simply because of the fact that they are so close to each other and because it's a function of local usage, even to the point of pronunciation. So fine. So let's take the Ran's approach over here. With a lamed that has a patach under it, la imra, it's as if you said lo imra, right? That would be, as we said before, remember the Ran explained this before, that if you say she'ochalach, even though she'ochalach is mashma, that I will eat, it's aser. Because if you say lamed with a shva, so then that would be le korban. That is where Le Korban Lo Ocholach. That's Rebbe Meir, it says it's Aser. That's because there's no Patach. That inverts the meaning. So therefore, it shall be a Korban. Le Korban, therefore, Lo Ocholach. That's with a Lamed with a Shva. Now, how about if he said Lo Ocholach? The word Lo Ocholach is not Mashma Aser. The word Lo Ocholach is Mashma Mutter. That might be that even though he says it with a Lo Ochal, he said La Korban, meaning it shall not be a Korban. Or if he said Beferish, Lo Korban. So in that case, depending on how you read it, there's going to be a total difference because you can't just say Lo Ochalach and then expect it to mean Iser unless it can be read as an exclamation of what it should be. Now, this is in contrast, remember, to making an explanation which is more of just a way of referring it. By golly, right? So we're talking about an exclamation, particularly not an ejaculation. By Korban, that is ridiculous. But if you're saying it shall be Korban, fine, okay, so then it could be, therefore, it shall be Korban, therefore. Okay. So more of these minor distinctions. And now it's time for Sir Richard to see us on our way in the next Mishnah. Ha'omer. All right, let's say that a person uses various other ways of referring to these different korbanas. So a guy says korban, or he says it could be an oila, mincha, it could be a chatas, teida, shalomim. If he closes with the words, whatever I eat by you, so then it would be aser. Because remember, if you're going like Rebbe Meir, you do not have to say ke korban. It's enough simply to say korban, what I eat by you. Rebbe Yehuda, as we saw earlier, Rebbe Yehuda holds only if the word that you're using itself means Iser. What was that? Pigel, Neuser, Tame. Over there, remember that Rebbe Yehuda said in our opening Mishnah of this sugya that you do not need the Chof HaDimyon. That was true. But over here, and this was the Ran's entire discussion, where you utilize any of these words, mincha, eila, shlamim, korban, chatas, all of those things, they may be usr, but the name does not imply iser. It happens to be that they're usr. And in cases like that, Rebbe Yehuda holds, you need to have actually a ki that should be like. So if there's no preposition, I don't know what you're referring to when you're talking about these things. Those are not isurim. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, all of these are mutter. If you're going to say ha korban, ke korban, or just plain korban, so if you close with the word she'ochal lach, so then it would be aser. Now, this seems very repetitive because we said just a minute ago, korban she'ochal lach asur. And we're going to talk about this in a moment. What would be the point of why not just throw them all together? If you're going to be talking about ha korban, ke korban, or ke korban, La korban lo ochalach. But what if you say, it shall not be a korban, and I won't eat it from you? So in that case, Rebbe Meir is oser. Now, all of this is Rebbe Meir understanding. La korban, we said, la korban yiye. It shall be for a korban. As opposed to understanding la korban, meaning no, it shall not be a korban, and trying to make a double negative, what you say is, this is for the korban, the most bang-up korban you ever had, baby, and therefore lo ochalach. So that's the way that we came out, that Elibit Rebbe Meir, it could be read as an iser. And therefore, in that case, Rebbe Meir, in fact, would answer it. This is confusing because it seems to be repetitive. So you're saying the same thing that we said before. And what we're saying is, without the Chof HaDimyon, according to Rebbe Yehuda, it is mutter. And according to Rebbe Meir, it's mut, it's aser. And then we throw in ha korban, ki korban, korban. All of it is aser. They are all mashma. Anything that I eat should be a korban. But that's only because you close with the words, what I'm going to eat. if you said korban, I won't eat, then we said, according to Rabbi Meir, we cannot utilize that because you can only say la korban. If you say korban, what is the problem? How do we understand it? That you are making a neder by golly, by korban. And that is a meaningless statement. Again, in the Lashon Gemara, those are called b'chaye korban. So anything that has the mashma'ut by the holy city of Jerusalem, by the kedusha of this korban and so on, all of that is silly. And therefore,
holy cow.
Exactly. So there is the entire point of Rabbi Meir. So we've got three possibilities. If you're talking about two, that it should be la. La has two possibilities, not or yes, right? La korban, it should be going to the korban, or la korban, which is similar to the Aramaic law, should not be a korban. We have two ways of construing it, and the rule is, if there is a way to construe it as Isser, and how is that? To read it as, it shall be a bang-up korban, and therefore lo ochalach, that's the way I'll interpret it. If I can interpret it in the other way, so it's at the very least, according to some, it's at the very least a yad. Fine. Even if it's not 100% clear. Okay. This is what Rabbi Meir holds. So the question would be, any of these cases, why don't we mix together the cases? We have the opening cases, ha korban, ki korban. So why are we throwing in korban again? Just make four cases, right? Just say ha korban, ki korban, korban, la korban. Why not just say them all together? Because we repeat them again now in the end of the Mishnah. The point is that the first three cases, these last three defined cases where you say ha korban, ki korban, or just plain korban. In those cases, if you say she'ochal, it will be osur. But if you use them to say lo ochal, that then it would be mutter, because then we understand it to mean by the holy korban. But if you say la korban, then it would be usher, even if you said lo ochal. Now that becomes very clear. I can't mix them together, because the only one that has the multiple interpretation that would allow me to say la korban means it shall be that korban, and therefore is only the lamed. But just saying the word korban and just saying the word ki korban, that is not good enough for me to come out with the exclamatory. Okay, says the Gemara. Now, let me just get this straight over here because you're confusing me. You start off over here. You say, korban, ha korban, ki korban, she'ochalach osur. Now, who is that going according to? The only one that held that pshat was Rabbi Meir until now. I mean, this is therefore sort of pretty clearly Rabbi Meir, because it was Rabbi Meir who said, I don't care whether you say Imra, I don't care whether you say La Imra, it's the same thing that we had before, basically, right? Now, forget about this E-Rabbi Meir, because that's not really so important. So now the question is, so, Diktoni HaKorban She'ochalach Osir, but the problem is that the Braisa says, Modim Chachomim L'Rabbi Yehuda, which means that Rabbi Meir is Meide, in the case where somebody says, Ha korban, ha oila, ha mincha, ha chatas, she'ochalach, that all of those cases are mutter. Why? Because shalona dar zele b'chaye korban. So using that word, behold the korban, that is the by golly or Barnea's holy cow, right? That's what you're saying. Here's the cow. So that's the ha korban. Anytime that I think you're talking about b'chaye korban, ha korban, isn't that the same as ha korban? Didn't you just include ha korban in the list? Says the Gemara, what's the comparison between ha korban and ha korban? They mean in totally opposite things. Ha korban means the great korban, and I'm trying to make it similar. Ha korban means behold korban, right? That's what they said when they said Yoshka. They saw Yoshka. Aha. Ha korban, right? Okay. So if that's the case, it's obviously the different, completely the opposite. So Adi Omar Ho Korban, Vahadi Omar Ho Korban. Okay, now you see how easy it is to get confused. What's the difference? Because when you say Ho Korban, what you're trying to say is holy cow, Chaye Korban Ka Omar. Another thing that we have here is that La Korban Lo Ochalach, we're saying that according to Rabbi Meir, it's usher. Isn't that because it shouldn't be a korban what I don't eat, but what I do eat should be a korban? Isn't that why it's usher? So I don't get it. Didn't we say that Rabbi Meir does not hold michla lavat hashemayahin? So how does that work? So v'halat leila Rabbi Meir michla lavat hashemayahin. Answers the Gemara like we said before. If I can interpret this to be an exclamation, Omer Rabbi Abba, what he's saying is it shouldn't be, not understood as it shouldn't be a korban. It's understood as to the big bang up korban. Nasik Omer la korban yehi, lefichach lo ochalach. So that means we have all of these various things, mamish, almost sounding exactly alike and meaning very much the opposite. And now we have another opening for our very own Richie. Now, this Mishnah actually is transitional into the next parak, and it opens up a new idea in which a person uses the word konam, but he says something which is not clear that it's possible to be a format of a neder. Because what he says is, konam pi medaber imach. My mouth talking to you should be a korban. My hands doing something with you should be a korban. My feet walking with you should be a korban. That ushers him. So apparently he wouldn't be allowed to talk to the guy, or he wouldn't be allowed to walk with the guy, depending on what we said. But the problem is that walking and talking and doing things are verbs. They are not objects. And didn't we learn that the meaning of a neder, as opposed to a shvua, is that a neder is chal on a chefetz. It has to have something that has a physical reality. It can't be chal on a concept. If you're talking about you not doing something, I will not talk to you, that can only be a shvua. You can't make a neder like that, right? So if you want to say, I won't walk with you, I won't talk with you, there's no way to make a neder. You would have to say shvua. So how does konam work here? The Mishnah is saying that konam means I'm not going to be able to walk with you. How does that make any sense? Doesn't it say beferish in the bright of Raminu? On the one hand, chomer bishvot min nedarim, and on the other hand, nedarim are chomer than shvuot. What is more chomer about nedarim? Well, nedarim can be chal on a cheftza shel mitzvah, the same way they can be chal on a rishon. So in other words, the classic case, somebody says, hana'at sukkah alat, that I'm not going to have any pleasure from a sukkah. Well, we can't tell a person to go and be over on an iser from his sukkah in order to be mekayim his mitzvah. Masha inkein, a person who says, I will not walk into my sukkah, that's not going to be a kosher shvua at all, because he's already mushba ve'o made me'ar Sinai. He is mechuyev to walk into the sukkah. It's not his business if he says he's not going to walk into the sukkah. So that's a very different implication of being an Isser Chefzer and Isser Gavra. Now, on the other hand, there is the opposite, where there's a chomra on a shvua. Chomra b'shvuot, because a shvua can be chal on an action, on something that doesn't have any objective physical reality, and a shavua is chal al dover sheyesh bo mamish or she'ein bo mamish. It's really irrelevant, because it's all a question of what I am doing. So why would a verb be a problem? What I am going to do. Fine. Ma she'ein kein nedarim, but a neder cannot be chal on walking. You cannot make a neder not to walk with someone, or not to talk with someone. So the Mishnah is very confusing. Amar Rav Yehuda, what we're talking about over here is, this is a concept that we had before when we were talking Ksuvas. We spoke a lot about how it's possible to answer something that is not in your Rishos or it's a Davar Shelo Olam, and so on. And this was the idea. The Omer Ye'aser Pi L'Diburi. The person does not aser speaking. The person asers his mouth, which is an object. He asers the other person from deriving something from that mouth, like words, or his utilization of his mouth for speaking. So over there, obviously, the speech is not the problem. The problem is the use of the object that creates the speech. Or if he says, yadai, yadai lema'asehem, or raglai, lehiluchama, how are you going to walk without any legs? Because those legs you're not allowed to use, right? This was Cat Stevens' old problem. And what happens with, you don't have any legs? Well, that's what this guy did, actually, by ossering his legs to himself. Therefore, it is chal. And if you look carefully, says Rav Yehuda, look at the Mishnah, you'll see that's the whole point of the Mishnah. Why do you think the Mishnah says, pi midaber imach, right? Why doesn't it say, konem shani midaber imach? I mean, what a weird way to talk. My mouth? Because that's the whole point. If you're trying to asser speaking, you can't say anything but my mouth. You can't talk about speech. And therefore, you can't say, I will not speak. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. Hadran alach ko kinuye nidarim kinidarim.
Bli neder, vintin nehiraka perek.
So now, making the transition here, we're going to see that this perek is going to be dealing with cases where a neder cannot be chal, which will include elements of the Mishnah that we just used as an introduction. The Mishnah begins with the idea of Elu Mutarim. I'm going to list to you things which are not mutter because of the fact that we have questions about the language. These are things which are mutter because of a fundamental breakdown in the understanding of what a neder can be affecting and or what the concept of hatpasa could mean. So remember we have the pasuk of Ishki Yidor Kiyafli Lindor Neder. From there we learned Lindor Neder means you must be Noder in a Dover Hanadur. Remember that at the beginning of the Masechet we had a big machlokas between the Ran and the Rush. Whether just saying something is usser is sufficient in and of itself to create a Neder. So you say, I want this to be usser like a Neder. Well, is there such a concept of usser like a Neder? Or must you be matvis in something? Lindor neder means I always have to find, which is what the Rush says, I always have to find a marker in the Torah for that neder. So, and that ended up being the incredible interrelationship between Nidre Hegdesh and Nidre Isser. It turned out, according to the Rush, that the only basis for the chalos of Nidre Isser is the fact that the Torah creates this concept of Nidre Hegdesh, where we know that there is such a thing that is created with a neder, namely a korban, or any of the things we mentioned before, Kiimra, Kedirim, and so on and so forth, or the Trumas HaLishka, whatever those cases were. But without that, I can't simply say I want something to be usher. I can make it a yad. Yes, I can say it's usher because we read that as it's usher as if it were a neder. Okay, Zoom has carefully and quietly put Gavi and Gershi together. But it's amazing, step by step. So now they don't have to smile with sneakily all the way across the screen. It's absolutely amazing, right? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Happy days. Okay. So what we're going to be talking about over here is essentially hatpasot, an attempt to be matpis in something that's not a dover hanodur. And what would be the halacha? Now, we start the Mishnah very strangely, which is ve'elu mutarin, if somebody says chulin sho'ochalach, which is a little bit ridiculous. I mean, what do you mean chulin sho'ochalach? So what kind of iser is that? What kind of atvasa could that be? So the Gemara is going to ask, why are you saying that? But here comes the serious issues. According to Ravida, chulin means you might as well have said it's chulin for all that this stuff is going to help you because it's absurd. So let's say you say it should be like bacon. Kipsar Chazir, or it should be like Avedis Kechovim, or it should be like Orot Levuvin. You'll remember that Orot Levuvin were very much in style We need to open up the chest of the animal with its heart still beating, to bring that beating heart in front of the good Lord, whatever its name is, you know. And that was a format of Takrovis Avodas Kochavim. Remember that Takrovis Avodas Kochavim is even more chumer than Avodas Kochavim, because at least Avodas Kochavim, you can get somebody to be bevato it, but you can never, ever get out of Takrovis Avodas Kochavim. So Orot Levavin is basically the worst that you could possibly say about something. And nonetheless, it is not going to make the slightest bit of difference, because Orot Levavin are a din in the Torah, and they're not something that are created with a neder. Kinevelot, kitrefot, kishkatzim, kirimasim, I don't care what they are. Kichalat Aharon uchitrumato, which we've analyzed earlier. All of these things are totally and absolutely mutter without a requirement to go to a chacham and to be matter the neder and so on. It is simply not a neder. But there are times where we will be machmer on such a thing, such as ha'omer le'ishto, ha'reat alai ki'ima. You tell your wife, well, I want you to be like my mom. Now, assuming this guy is more or less normal, he seems to be assuring his wife on him. But, of course, his mother is not usher because of a netter. His mother is usher because she's like Basar Chazir. So this has absolutely no meaning, but it sounds very scary, right? So, okay, so what do we do when it sounds scary? So what we do is, as we're going to see, this is a reference to people who throw around these kinds of statements and are total amei ha'aretz. They have no idea what a netter is, and they have no idea what a dover aneder, a dover aser is. And then, unfortunately, we all know people like that. So they're swearing left and right, you know, they get angry at their wife, and we don't mention the swear words, but we mention what they swore. So what they swore was she should be like mom. Oh, boy. So in that case, we don't let them get away with it. And what we do is we're potchim lo petach mimakom acher. We pretend, now the simple meaning of potchim lo petach mimakom acher is that instead of simply telling him, you idiot, go back home and be a good boy. Instead, we pretend that it's a real neder, and we try to figure out, you know, what would be a petach for the neder. And that way, shelo yakel rosho lekach, that he won't act in this fashion. Now, the truth is we've got a couple of variation issues over here. First of all, is this only nogea where people are cursing out their wives? That is the way most Rishonim learn, because most arguments are between men and women. And therefore, we make the special takana, because people are always saying something or other that sounds usher about their wives. That's one approach. The Rambam holds that there's no difference, and that there's only one issue, which everyone agrees to, the other issue as well, except they hold there's two separate issues. The one issue is this person an Am HaAretz, or is he a Talmud Chacham? If he's an Am HaAretz, then you have to treat him, according to the Rambam, since he doesn't know the difference, you have to pretend it's a real neder, no matter what, wife or not wife. Others learn if he's both an Am HaAretz and it revolves around his relationship with his wife, then you have to be machmer. There's one additional issue that we need to discuss. What is the meaning of petach mimakom acher? As I said, the simple meaning of petach mimakom acher is not using the halacha, namely that this is not a neder, but rather opening up some kind of petach. However, many Rishonim are medayik that the meaning of mimakom acher does not mean from another basis. It means another petach. So in other words, that's a given that you can't use this. If I'm telling you, you have to open a petach, obviously I can't tell you the truth that this is not a neder at all. So I have to open up a petach. Now, normally in a situation like this, I would use an obvious petach. And that is what is called not mimakom acher, but rather ipso facto. Meaning, if I am saying something like this, I could say to the person, hey, you idiot, do you think this reflects very well on your mom? Do you understand what a pegiah this is in kvod ha'em? So that would have meant that I'm using the very thing that he said as a weapon against him to embarrass him and to have him say, no, that's a really stupid thing to say. But I don't do that. Instead, and that's because we don't use things where people might say, no, I would never have done that. Of course, he's got his fingers crossed behind. I hate her anyway. Okay, so we've obviously got some psychological problems over here with this guy. In any event, what it means, b'makom acher, according to those l'shaynais, is from some other issue that doesn't involve his relationship to his mother. Okay, we can have a psychological conference on this mission at some other time. This, however, does conclude our daf.